Hi there. Often news can be a battleground of opinions, but let's avoid controversy today. There are so many news items where opinion is polarized, as I discussed in my podcast last week, number 694. Instead, let's explore some less heated news items today, and I'll give you some of my personal opinion. This way, you're not just learning English, you're getting a taste of British perspectives too. Stay with me today, and you'll learn some vocabulary for discussing the economy, essential for those of you doing English exams, English spoken exams, and we'll take a virtual trip to Iceland for some geological vocabulary. And because we know that you like a bit of positivity, I'll share a heartwarming story at the end. So let's intertwine some themes: economic, environmental, and heartwarming, so that you can stay listening for longer. Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. So imagine walking into a shop last October in the UK and noticing how quiet it was. And this isn't just a random observation. In the news last week, it was reported that the UK had the lowest level of retail sales since 2021 during the pandemic. No one's in the shops. Retail, R-E-T-A-I-L, refers to selling goods to people like you and me, direct. What shops do, in other words. That's retail. So picture this: people spending in October as little as they did during the pandemic when the shops were closed. That's quite low activity, isn't it? So these were the figures for October this year. News often paints this sort of thing as doom and gloom. Doom and gloom is a very British way of saying things don't look good. It's a bit of a pessimistic outlook. So the UK economy isn't growing, and that's terrible. Gloom, G-L-O-O-M, can mean rather dark, not much light. And we use the adjective gloomy. We have some gloomy days in November in the UK because it's quite dark, and sometimes it's lovely and sunny. But we also use gloom and gloomy to talk about our mood as well, how pessimistic we might be feeling. And doom, D-O-O-M, means an unhappy ending, an outcome that we don't want. That's doom. So we might say something is doomed. So is it really all that bad? Is it gloom and doom? Well, if you listen to the official talk about it, this is someone from the Office for National Statistics, or the ONS, speaking. It sounds like this. It was another poor month for household goods and clothes stores, with these retailers reporting that cost of living pressures, reduced footfall, and poor weather had hit them hard. Three things strike me about this, and I'm about to give you some opinion here. Just before that, if you want more podcasts, don't forget to go to our website at adeptenglish.com, where you can download hundreds of our podcasts to your mobile phone. Great for your English listening. So three things strike me about this, and here comes my opinion. Firstly, the government recently raised interest rates to curb spending, aiming to cool down the economy and control inflation. Inflation, I-N-F-L-A-T-I-O-N, means when prices keep rising. So if people are spending less, isn't that the intended result? So why complain and be full of gloom and doom when it actually happens? People are actually spending less. To be fair, there are other factors going on with inflation. Global factors, that's G-L-O-B-A-L, and it means coming from around the world, not just in our country. But when more of people's household income is spent on the basics, the roof over your head, as we might say, and things like food and power, then people have less expendable income. So quite sensibly, they spend less. So basically, I'm saying, what do you expect? Is this bad news, or is this a predicted result from a Bank of England measure that the government certainly approved of? Secondly, another viewpoint. We often hear that constant economic growth is essential. But what if the focus shifted from buying more stuff to enjoying more experiences and services? This might be a healthier approach for our wallet, our purse, and for the planet. So this idea that perpetual growth is a good thing, I think it's time to question that. What we buy is usually divided into what we call goods, G-O-O-D-S. That means products, physical things that you can buy and take home or have delivered to your door. And services, that's S-E-R-V-I-C-E-S. And by services, we mean actions that we pay for, like getting your hair cut, getting your house cleaned, or getting your shoes repaired. They're services. So this healthier for your wallet and better for the planet idea, if we spent less money on goods, aside from essentials like food, surely that would be a good thing. Most of us in the UK have too much stuff anyway. There's a lot of programs on our TV about hoarding and getting rid of stuff when you've got too much. Perhaps we're all a bit like that. And buying more stuff not only means that our bank balance is worse off, but it's actually worse for the planet. It means more plastic, more industry, more pollution, more non-biodegradable items, more stuff that we perhaps throw away in the end. Isn't it better to use what you've got and save your money for more enjoyable experiences and boost the economy that way rather than more stuff? So I think it's more ecological to not have perpetual growth, better for nature, and maybe it's good discipline for us as individuals, but also for governments too, to just spend less. Thirdly, those doom and gloom retail sales statistics were for October. You might argue that the biggest boost for shops selling goods in the UK, as in many other countries, is Christmas and Christmas shopping. Well, most people haven't started their Christmas shopping in October. Maybe a few eager beavers have, but most haven't. So surely sales figures will be much better for November and December when people get going on their Christmas shopping. Maybe people were economising in October so they could spend more in the next couple of months. But in the news article, things like poor weather and lots of rain are to blame. I'm sure that's a factor, but you don't really want an economy which only functions if the weather's good, especially in the UK. And having an economy that is based around retail sales, I think that's questionable. What about those cracks in the ground in Iceland? Did you see the photographs? The southwestern peninsula of Iceland apparently could face decades of volcanic instability, warned the Icelandic Met Office. The Met Office, and this is a word I'm about to say that I find really hard to pronounce, Met stands for Meteorological Office. We have one in the UK and ours reports primarily on the weather. But in Iceland, there's a lot more going on. So their Met Office does report on the weather, but it reports on ice, pollution, avalanches, and seismic activity, most of which we don't have in the UK. An avalanche, A-V-A-L-A-N-C-H-E, that's when lots of snow falls down a mountain and poses a risk to life. That's an avalanche. So Iceland is known to have high levels of volcanic activity, but scientists were surprised and alarmed this week to find that in the town of Grindavik, magma is flowing underground miles away from where the volcano is. That word magma, M-A-G-M-A, that means molten rock, rock that's so hot it's a fluid, a liquid, and magma flows beneath the ground, beneath the surface of the earth. The other word that you might or might not know here, lava, L-A-V-A. And again, this is molten rock, but lava is when it's flowing on the surface of the earth, not underneath. So the ground in the western part of the town of Grindavik has sunk by more than a metre in under 2 weeks, and it's continuing to sink about 4 centimetres a day. People have been asked to leave their houses and their homes for safety, and it's not certain whether they'll be able to go back. Experts say that the town will continue to subside. That's S-U-B-S-I-D-E. And that verb is the word we use for when something is sinking, but it's on land, not in the sea. That's to subside. In Iceland, they're also having to build protective walls around a geothermal power plant so that it doesn't get damaged by the flow of magma under the Earth's surface. A geothermic power plant, that's G-E-O-T-H-E-R-M-I-C. This means a power plant that's harnessing or capturing energy that's generated underneath the earth. That's geothermic. It seems like there might be a little bit too much of that at the moment. How about what we might call an uplifting or a heartwarming story to finish? In our polls, you told us that you do like positive news stories. Well, here's one. A man in Northern Ireland called Jimmy Cooper is a nurse at the Belfast Royal Hospital. Belfast is, of course, the capital of Northern Ireland. And okay, you might say, what's unusual about him? Well, this month, Jimmy Cooper will celebrate his 80th birthday. He's enjoying his nursing career still and has no plans to retire, no plans to stop. He works in the intensive care unit, that's ICU at the hospital, and he loves his job. Apparently, Jimmy Cooper did retire at age 69, but it was very brief. He got bored and came back to work. I do sometimes find myself wondering about Joe Biden's ability to be President of the United States at his great age. But perhaps stories like this one about Jimmy Cooper give weight to the idea that older workers are perfectly capable and they bring a wealth of experience to their jobs. Jimmy Cooper speaks in the article about how much things have changed since he did his training. As a male nurse, he was not allowed to treat female patients for the first 2 years of his career. And in 1984, when the Conservative Party conference was bombed in a hotel in Brighton, Jimmy Cooper was on hand. Colleagues have talked about what a good nurse he is and how compassionate. That's C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N-A-T-E. And compassionate means kind and sympathetic to his patients. Not always a given, I'm afraid. And what a great example to us all. Also great that the NHS continue to employ someone of 80 years old and don't force him to retire, as would have happened in many companies and organisations elsewhere. In the words of Taran Francois, when you get rid of all the older people, you get rid of all the wisdom. That's enough news for now. Practice by listening to this podcast a number of times. It's that repeat listening that really will make a difference and help you improve your English. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.